Well, it gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce to you our evangelist. I have known Jay and Mary for many years. I met Jay when I was pastoring in Delta. And he worked with me in the church there and helped us. And just so glad that God has used him. And it's just interesting to know how God can take us. And we think we're going to do one thing in life and find out that he does something totally different. So without any further ado, without any flowery introductions, I'm going to say, God bless you, Jay. Come and share God's word with us this morning.
Oh, so I'm one of these evangelist preachers that move around a lot. So if you put me up there, I'll trip. This is additional to the sermon, but along Lloyd's cookie story, it was kind of why I wouldn't make cookies. I made a cake once. And see, this shows the wisdom of God. I made a cake once for a Sunday evening fellowship. And on the way out the door, the cake and I went, boom. God knew that that cake should not reach that fellowship hall. And so it didn't. Tonight, and this is an ad, not the sermon, for those that have questions, for those who would like to know, as Lloyd said, I am a geologist by training, by man. Man gave me 16 years worth of education to try to ruin me and turn me into a logical entity. And as my wife can tell you some days, I'm not very logical. But that education did give me one thing. It gave me the ability to be analytical in both God's Word and in science. And so tonight, at the request of Lloyd, I'm going to present a little show and tell on where we all came from in the beginning was. And it's going to be from a godly perspective with science backing it up. And I guarantee that if you can make it tonight, when we reach the end, I'm going to show you something that I believe will blow your mind. And at that point, you'll never, ever have a doubt again that scientists are nuts. They don't know where we came from. And I can't take credit for this. God gave this to Mary and I just a couple of days ago. Here I am, a scientist. I've got a master's degree in structural tectonics. And I'll tell, as I tell everybody, you give me 50 cents, I can get a cup of coffee with it. Past that, I don't believe in man's education. I believe in education of hard knocks by God. That's the education. But that education, as I say, has allowed me to see things. But just before we came out here, Lloyd had just asked, this is how beautiful God is, Lloyd had just asked if I would speak about that, and my wife was doing a little research and came across this. And when you see this, you're just, the little light bulb's going to go on and you're going to say, now, how does science think we came from an ooze? That's not even today's sermon. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, I just love Proverbs. Though I don't understand, Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and yet some of the things he wrote in later life, Ecclesiastes, he goes through the whole book and finally comes to the end. And at the end, what does he say? Nothing matters but serving the Lord. I'm like, well, you're the wisest man in the world. Why did it take you a whole book to get to the last verse that says nothing matters but serving the Lord? I'm just glad I'm not wise. I am so far from wise. Proverbs 1:7. During this time of revival, I am hoping the Lord will give me words for you that will bring you closer to the Lord. The title of today's sermon is Knowing Your God. And I'll be honest with you, Lloyd was picking on me, but this sermon changed like three times yesterday, and at 4:00 in the morning while my wife was asleep, the Lord gave me the rest of the sermon. So what you're hearing is right just fresh off the presses. It wasn't there yesterday. 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, have you ever noticed that? That fools, you know, and we're not supposed to judge the world and call them fools, so I have to be careful. But have you ever noticed the world looks at godly wisdom as if we're fools? When you talk to the world and just start telling them that they need Jesus, that they need a Savior, that they need to find that joy unspeakable. Have you ever noticed that they just get that deer in the headlights look? Because God has made that foolishness to them. Because He says right here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, we today have taken the gospel and we've created a gospel of love. A happy gospel. Take Jesus into your life. He'll make your life great. Your life will be perfect. Now I ask you, I'm wanting hands raised. How many of you in here have a life that is perfect? One! And she hasn't gotten to the point where she knows what perfect life is yet. Jesus did not come into the world to take our lives and make them perfect. I get in trouble with pastors sometimes because when I tell someone they need Jesus and they come to the Lord, the first thing I tell them is, look out, you're in trouble. Satan's going to go for your throat. He don't care about you as long as he's got you. But the minute he loses you, look out. The saddest thing, I have a pastor friend of mine in India, and God has been so good. We talk to each other on the phone. He has a hard time understanding my Wyoming accent, and I have a devil of a time understanding his Indian accent. So when we get on the phone most of the time, it's, hello, brother. So we can... But he's been fasting, faithful, been fasting for your revival in India. He's fasting till the 1st of June for you people. And he wrote me the other day, despondent. Because he wanted to know if he was preaching a defective gospel. This is how much he fears the Lord. Because he said in India what he sees happening is that they're preaching the happy gospel. Did I say? Jesus is going to make your life perfect. Well, what happens is these people come into the Christian church and after a while when their life isn't perfect, they leave. But worse than that, they leave and then they tell others that Christians are liars. And he asked me, he said, am I preaching a defective gospel because I have defective converts in my church? And I wept over that. Because I love Jesus with all my heart and all my soul. And I've told people time and time again that if it need be, you can do what you did to Peter. You can put me upside down on a cross and you can hang me there until I die and I will not deny Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And that's what Solomon says. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. He goes on further in Proverbs to say, and I believe it's 3:7, he says, humility and the fear of the Lord brings riches, honor, and life. Now go back to the Hebrew if you want an interesting study. You realize that that says exactly what it means? The true humility of your heart and the fear of the Lord brings riches. Monetary riches. Now, God's idea of riches and ours are two different things. God didn't say you're going to win the lotto. But God did say, I know when a sparrow falls. Don't you think I care more for you? Health. That's bodily healing. That's health. What good, I'll get myself in trouble because I've done this. But what good are we to God, to this community, if when we meet somebody that we want to tell about Christ and they say, how are you doing today? Oh, my back is killing me. I'm just getting old. I'll tell you, and this sacroiliac, I mean, I can't even sit down for 5 minutes without just screaming in pain. Is that an all-powerful God? It's not. But that scripture says, for the humility of your heart and the fear of the Lord, you'll get riches, which means you will be provided for, you will have health, and you'll get honor. That Hebrew word there means the honor of men. Respect. You won't be considered hateful. You won't be considered a bigot because you tell someone they need Jesus. You won't be considered all of the new buzzwords that they use for us. See, when you and I know Jesus, when you know God, then nothing else matters. Because you know that you know that you know that you're covered. A great pastor once said, we should never, never, ever question our salvation. But what should we do? We should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean we're saved by works? No. What that means is, like we discussed in Sunday school, God gives us gifts. And we're to use them. And if we use those gifts, no matter what they are, if we use those gifts, He will honor that. He will set us free. I was arguing, sorry Lord, I shouldn't have been, but I was arguing with a young man who is in the best I can say is a cult. I hate to use that word, but he believes absolutely positively that if he doesn't keep the law and the Sabbath and all the other rules and regulations, I mean, he goes so far as to keep the Passover, that he isn't saved. And I tried to explain to him, then, how do you say you love Jesus? And what I found was that no matter which scripture I gave him, he just went somewhere else. He hid from the light. Because when the light was shined, he didn't know how to respond. So, very much like the world. When the world has the light, the Bible says, the light, the world knew it not and accepted it not. That's what John tells us. He says, Jesus was the light of the world. See, that's what you are. Every single person sitting here today, down to that little teeny baby, when that baby gets to the point where it says, Jesus Christ is my Savior, I love Him, I accept Him, I'm going to follow Him, you become the light of the world. And that light doesn't do anybody any good. Even if we have these windows open, it doesn't do any good if it's the middle of the night and this church just has light beaming out if light doesn't get outside. We have to step out. We have to step out in faith, and we have to take a baby step, I guess. Job found that out. We read where Job said, I had heard of you. What did he say there? I have heard of you. But now I see you and know you. See, Job had, I'm a firm believer that Job only had to go through one chapter if he'd gotten it. But he didn't get it. So we have 39 chapters of Job having his friends tell him what a miserable louse he is. I mean, that's basically what we have. 39 chapters of these great friends. What did his wife say to him? Curse God and die, for heaven's sakes. I'm so glad my wife's never done that. I deserve to be struck by lightning sometimes because I'm human. But she's never just looked at me and said, oh, Jay, curse God and die, why don't you? I mean, what a life. But Job went through 39 chapters of scraping boils, of being told, and saying that he didn't do anything wrong. And you read Job, and what do you see from Job? He's righteous, isn't he? I mean, do you see Job cursing God? Do you see Job cussing out God? Do you see Job doing anything against God? No, Job knew. But what did Job do? He said, I'm righteous. I'm good before God. Well, let's look at what God says in chapter 40 of Job. Chapter 40, verse 1. And I'm going to have to put on, as they call them, my cheaters, because I'm getting old enough I can't see anymore. Chapter 40, verse 1, my wife tells me I have these little tabs on my Bible, which are a cheat because they get me there quicker, so I usually wait a minute until I stop hearing pages flip. He says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer. And then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand at my mouth. I have spoken once, but I will not answer you twice. I will proceed no further. See, the Lord shows up and Job suddenly realizes, oops, I'm not righteous. And no matter how good we are, so that's a great thing about Jesus Christ, our Savior. God doesn't see that vile. His blood covers us. His blood cleanses us. His blood sets us free. And that's what we should be so excited about. We want to give the world. Do you want your neighbor to go to hell? I mean, let's be real here. Let's talk down and dirty where the rubber meets the road. The Bible says if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're headed to hell. It's not a happy gospel. It's not even a friendly gospel. But it's the biblical truth. If I love my neighbor into this building and I never tell him the truth, he's going to hell. He's not going to heaven just because I've loved him to death and told him what a great life Jesus is going to give him. Do we care enough about our neighbors to tell them that? No, you don't walk up with your Bible and just beat the living brains out of your neighbor with Scripture and tell him he's evil and vile and he's going to hell. But we have to be truthful, don't we? Jesus told us, you deny me before man, and this scares the jeebers out of me. I'll deny you before the angels in heaven. He said it twice. He said, I'll deny you before God. So, what Jesus said there was, you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before everybody up there. And I could be wrong. You know, this is the gospel according to Jay. But I just don't think if Jesus is up there denying you exist, you're going to show up in heaven. That's just me. I'm not God, and I'm glad I'm not, because I'd be in trouble. There'd be some people I'd zap. And so, pray for patience. Now, don't do that. Learn one thing. Never pray for patience. God will give it to you. I made that mistake one time. I prayed for patience, and it was 10 years before that particular thing was accomplished. So, never pray for patience. Ask for grace. Anyway, back to poor old Job. Then the Lord came to Job out of a whirlwind. I love God. He never does things half. He comes out of a storm, out of a whirlwind. Poor Job. Gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, and I will declare unto thee. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or can thou thunder with a voice like mine? Deck thyself with majesty and excellence, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, abase them. Look on everyone that is proud and bring them low and tread them down in the wicked place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then I will also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Whoa, how would you like to have God show up and do that here? Or even worse, Ananias and Sapphira. How do we like to have God show up, and if we lied to the Holy Spirit, we just started falling over dead and people were carrying us out? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to know God? Fear Him. Not fear Him as I'm sitting in a corner as a trembling child, but with reverence. The reverence of God. Do you revere the Lord? Do you believe His word is true? Because see, if you don't believe every word here is true, you can go no further. You're stuck. And you want to know why? This is the manufacturer's handbook. You know, us males have this thing. You give us a DVD player, you give us a VCR, we plug it in, and we tinker with it till it works. We don't read manuals. We're men. Men do not need manuals. These guys know it. I see that look. You know, you're with me here. We don't need manuals, you know. We go buy a new car, we get in it, in about 3 weeks we figure out what that button on the gas is for, the cruise control. Darn, I thought it didn't work.